Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. My name is Paul Harvey. When I started this podcast, I was looking for answers. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to have a good, well-lived life? I've gained some answers in the last 5 or 6 months. But there's more to explore. This is my new weekly show that is co-hosted by Lisa Avery. It is part of a series of programs and a Facebook group where we'll be exploring, providing tools and support, and looking to find what those big life questions mean for us all.
So welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And this is the podcast recording that's been done through Facebook Live with my co-host, Lisa Avery. And we are exploring what it is, what you need to do in life in order to get back that zest, that power, that drive, or maybe not. But what it is, basically, that makes your life tick. And this is what we're exploring over the next few weeks. So as today's conversation, I will let Lisa tell us all and we can explore it together. So Lisa, tell me, what are we talking about today?
So today, Paul, I wanted to talk a little bit about the process of change, because before we can really embark on any journey, we have to decide if we actually want to change our lives, if we actually want to do something meaningful, you know, because many people are just kind of happy, they're content just doing what they've always done, or at least they think they are, until you really start to ruffle a few feathers, you know? So today I'd really like to talk about what it means to grow as a human being and to grow into your potential.
Yeah, and I guess part of that problem is that as humans, we like to have comfort and we also like things to stay the same. We have this sense that things should stay the same. And it's like change is not always an easy thing to deal with.
No,
there's a resistance around, isn't there?
There is. And I think there's a real misconception. You know, what you've just said is what a lot of people believe, but actually it flies in the face of what humanistic and positive psychology tell us about happiness and well-being. You know, in order to be happy, in order to feel incredible, in order to feel that your life has meaning, you need to move forward. You know, I think we mentioned in a previous episode, rather than goal achievement, you know, what people really need, it's to feel that they're moving forward in every aspect of life. Now, by its very definition, if you're moving forward, you're not staying the same.
Yeah, but there's also a thing about change. There's a pain to change. And that's very well documented that there's quite a lot of people have this mm-hmm. thing about pain and change. I mean, this is very old kind of story of two old guys in America sitting on a porch somewhere, you know, while in the evening away, drinking their beer, and the dog is whining. Mm-hmm. And the dog is lying there whining. And one says to the other, "Why is the dog whining?" And he says, "Because he's lying on a nail." Why doesn't he move? It's not that painful yet.
Yes.
You know, and it's like the pain to change has to be less than the pain to stay where you are.
Yes, I mean, there's something really interesting here, Paul, because I think I was just explaining to you before we came live that for my master's research, I looked at what pushed a person to pursue their vocation. So to transition into work that was personally very meaningful to them. And in each and every case, there was an element of pain. The element of pain served as a greater motivator than pleasure that they could potentially be gaining and moving towards. So it was kind of like getting away from the pain was more powerful as a motivator than moving towards a positive, happy ever after.
Okay. So all right. Pain can be a motivator. And certainly I know a few people, certainly around some of the groups I frequent, that will put themselves into extreme pain or extreme difficulty purely and simply because it gets them somewhere faster. And in some ways, I guess I'm doing the same thing. I'm running. I've started running and I've never thought of myself as a runner. And I go out like three times a week, and I'm doing, I'm up to about 8K, I think it was the far farthest I got. I'm aiming for 10. And you know, it's, and there is a sense of pain in attached to it. But I have to say, there's also a kind of strange pleasure in the fact that I'm going to be running tomorrow, and I don't quite know what that's about. Ooh, I'm going to run tomorrow morning, and it's going to be hard.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the pain and pleasure often go hand in hand, Paul. I don't think that, you know, you find them in different places. Usually they're entwined.
So can you say more about this process? I mean, what are you saying? What did you discover on the journey that you went on?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the journey that I went on in interviewing these people, it really highlighted the fact that, as I just say, pain and pleasure both serve as motivators, but usually it's the pain that sort of is the absolute impetus, the absolute push to move forward. You know, and in any kind of transition process, there is going to be a sadness, there is going to be a fear, and it's that fear that we've really got to embrace and try to harness and try to really transform into excitement. Because usually when you're afraid of something, you know, you're afraid of not getting what you want, you know. Okay, so people are afraid of what they can leave behind, and you know, we have to ask ourselves, when we ask ourselves what we want, we also have to ask ourselves, what is the cost to getting what we potentially want? Because very often there is some kind of sacrifice, there is something we're leaving behind, you know, whether it's our previous identity, whether it's some sacrifice in terms of time we dedicate to family, friends, there almost always is some kind of personal sacrifice we're making. So I think, you know, we have to acknowledge what we are potentially leaving behind, but then we have to become very mindfully aware and really motivated about what we could be moving towards. And I think the other problem, Paul, is that all too often people don't even let themselves dare to dream and dare to imagine about what could be.
Yeah, I can relate to that, because I have to say, if you said to me, what's my dream? I couldn't tell you. I don't perceive myself as having a dream outcome in life. I seem to move towards, I fall forward towards a goal, and I guess this is difficult to put into words. I'm getting more of a sense that I need to earn more money in my life, because I think that, you know, I've got a son that's going to be approaching bigger education, and a realization that that's going to cost more than I thought it was.
Yeah.
So there are things that I need to start planning for. I've got a retirement coming up, and as a lot of people in the UK, both of my pensions got bollocks by various things that happened in the world. So I have pensions which will never suffice. So, yeah, I know. And I'm now of an age where I have to start looking at those things and being real with myself. So I guess those things are pain in the future that I have been ignoring. So how do we do this? I mean, what is the process of moving forward? Because it's all very well saying you've got to embrace the pain. Well, bollocks, I'm not going there. So how do we get from that place to...
Well, absolutely. This is a really interesting and important point, I think, in the fact that most people wait for negative circumstances before they take action. What I would say is that when you do take action in adverse circumstances, usually everything is more painful, more difficult, more emotional. And that's where positive psychology, coaching, our program really come into play. Because what we're essentially doing, we're inviting people to go on this journey way before the pain even kicks in. You see, you said something very interesting a few minutes ago. You said you fall forward into your future. And I think that's a brilliant example of the way most people see it, in the fact that you're just really reacting to circumstances. And what I would say is that if we can take some proactive initiatives to really explore who we are, what we're about, you know, then we have a real advantage, because then we can really start to get ahead of circumstance, you know. But this really means turning in on ourselves and doing that deep inner work, so as to be able to move forward and to really face this change, this transitional process, which of course is never easy. So the first thing to do is to really begin to get clear about who you are, your core identity, and what your ideal future would look like. And there's a beautiful exercise that I mentioned to you in an email. Shall we share a little bit about that?
I can't remember the exercise, so you're going to have to tell me because I have it's gone out of my
Absolutely. Okay. Well, for your very own benefit, Paul. So this is an exercise which comes from positive psychology, and it's called your best possible future self. And I really love this exercise because basically what it is, you take 4 nights, okay, 4 consecutive nights, and you take a notebook and a pen or else your laptop. And you take 20 minutes for each of those nights to write very freely, very openly, without any kind of restrictions or limitations, to write about the way you want your life to be. Now, what you do, there's a bit of a linguistic trick to this. You actually write in the present tense, but you're projecting yourself into the future. So I imagine the Lisa of 5 or 10 years' time when I say, so I'm living in this place, I'm working here. But you try to make it as vivid and evocative as you can, really including all the senses, you know. So what you're feeling like, what you're looking like, what you can see, what you can feel, make it as vivid as possible. And you do this for 4 nights in a row. So don't worry about grammar or spelling. But what you're allowing yourself to do is really freely explore who you are and the kind of life you would like to be leading.
No, I'm glad you let me off the grammar and the spelling.
Yeah, no grammar and spelling. You don't have to worry.
Okay. So I could imagine that would get quite repetitive for me. I mean, I have to say, I have, you know, fully admission, I have not tried this, and I'm going to probably have to. Of course, I'm going to have to now. I've been told about it. But yeah, it's like, is that a repetitive thing, or is it? Because if I wrote that the first night, it would probably be the same the second night. I would probably do the same. I've not tried it. I've not tried the exercise. So, of the people that tried the exercise, what did they experience?
So, I mean, the people that tried the exercise and, you know, the results, because this was studied, there was a study done around this just to check how useful it was. And it found that people became more motivated, more optimistic, and experienced a greater sense of self-efficacy, you know, so like they could really do these things. So I think it's very motivational and really gives a lot of clarity, shines a lot of light, because until you actually put this into words, I don't think it really seems real. You know, in your head, you have all these ideas floating around, but to have to articulate them, whether that's saying this out loud or whether it's putting pen to paper, there's something really special about that process. And suddenly it becomes very real, whereas it's been very hypothetical in your mind. And actually, what you say about it becoming repetitive, I don't necessarily think that's either a bad thing or either true, because the first night I think you'll be a little bit more restrained, you won't really be as free. The second night I think you'll become freer, third and fourth night freer and freer. I think you'll really start to lose those inhibitions, you know, which is where the interesting part comes.
Putting you on the spot, did you do this? What did you discover?
I've done this several times in the last few years when embarking on my positive psychology journey. And each and every time, you know, the speaking, the coaching, the writing, these things became clearer. So much to me became clearer around what I want to be doing professionally. And personally too, you know, the kind of life I'd like to be living, that serenity, yet the zest and the energy at the same time. I think it can be as precise or as abstract as you like, but it has to be you, you know, it has to be you.
Okay, that's an experiment to try. It's certainly something I will give a go, and I guess I will need to feed back to you or to the world at some stage how that went.
Brilliant.
Perhaps we may, if we're going to set up exercises like this, maybe we should be doing them ourselves over the next week or something, and then coming back in the next program and just exploring what we discovered. After all, we said we would share this journey, so I think we both need to commit to sharing this journey.
Yeah,
have I just put you on the spot? Have I put you on the spot, or is that okay?
You've put me on the spot, but I agree. Absolutely. Well, this is what we've said, Paul. The hardest thing, you know, it's very easy to talk about the theory and what positive psychology says. The more difficult part for me, it is the sharing. So becoming quite vulnerable is a courageous thing to do. And I'm definitely up for that.
Good. Good. Okay. So that's what we'll both commit to doing for our next program, is basically having done this project, this process together.
Perfect.
I think what might be quite good is if you send, I need to find a copy of that process written down somewhere so people could share along with us. Maybe I should try and do that. So it's just, say the process again. It's basically 20 minutes,
yeah.
Four consecutive nights. Write
yeah,
down
I mean,
what you actually want in your life as though it were actually happening now.
Yeah, that's the in the very briefest of instructions. Yeah, I think we can attach a link here, you know. let's attach a link here, but very briefly, it's that. Very basically, it's that. Writing about your future life as though it's already here. Very important that you use the present tense because it becomes much more real, much more vivid in that way. And feel that emotion, feel that excitement, you know. Really allow yourself to revel in those sensations that you are feeling there in the future, because people really block their imagination, they stifle their creativity, they really start to limit themselves. I want you to be as bold in this exercise as possible. I don't want you to write, you know, just one list of goals that you think society tells you should have achieved by this point. No, this is about your dreams, your aspirations. Just really let go, you know, really, really, really
okay.
Let go.
All right. Okay, I hear that, but I don't know how to let go, Lisa. I don't let go. I don't have any dreams. I mentioned this last time. I discovered choosing not to choose is a choice, but that doesn't mean I choose anymore. Yeah, I'm still quite happy not to choose because I don't have to choose. Oh, well, I don't know. I get knotted up in this sort of stuff. So how do I free myself of this shit?
I think, you know, you've got to go back to when you were young, you know, that there was a time for sure when everybody had dreams. The question is really stripping away now all the extrinsic, all of life that's come in the way. I think when you're age 7, you have a very clear sense of who you are, a very clear notion of who you are. So I think it's trying to really tap back into that time when you did have dreams and really think about the kind of activities you did for pure pleasure, you know. Or there's something that I really like, and that is, if you're not sure where your passion lies, think about when you're in a bookshop. Think about the section of the bookshop that you would naturally gravitate towards. You know, I think everybody has passion. Everybody has a dream. It's just a case of really freeing yourself up enough to identify what that is. You know,
the
Paul, when you're in a bookshop.
Where do I go? Well, the trouble is I don't go to bookshops that much these days. I go to Amazon, but ooh, did I say that? No.
Okay, when you're in Amazon, where do you go?
Well, that's the problem. Amazon tells you because it flashed up. People like you have read this book, so your choice gets taken away by an algorithm. No, I do go into bookshops occasionally, and I guess I tend to go towards the science fiction. So that's where I've always had kind of, I've always enjoyed science fiction. And I read a lot of science fiction as a teenager and into my early 20s. So that was always something that was big for me, science fiction. And I guess I recently, last few years, I guess it's often business books, motivational books, kind of sort of stuff, which is all about this searching for this bloody answer again. That's what I've been doing over the last few years. So I guess, yeah, you're right. It does kind of run, doesn't it? You can answer your life questions by walking into a bookshop and see where you go.
to some degree, I think so, you know, and I see some crossovers there, you know. Science fiction, it's that imagination, that creativity, that entering another world. And at the same time, you know, the business, the thing that you're trying to create now, it's the very same thing. You're putting a lot of creativity, a lot of imagination into creating something that doesn't already exist, you know. So I think you can really begin to see the connections. You can really begin to join the dots. But sometimes it's about stripping all of this away and really getting to the core of who you are, what your identity is, who you are in this world, and the difference you want to make. Because as we were speaking about, you know, in previous episodes, it's never really just about you, if not the way you can show up in the world and make a positive difference to the rest, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. So we have been talking for around 15 minutes, so we're doing okay for time-wise. So is there anything else we need to explore on this topic today? Because obviously we said that we'd try and keep these things relatively short. So is there anything else we need to explore about it other than set this project up and then go and do it?
Yeah, I think as well, it's as we've said in previous episodes, the thing that we have to remember is that any kind of change process is going to bring about both the positive and negative emotions. I think for me, the crucial learning from positive psychology is that all emotions have a place. So we've really got to acknowledge them. You know, the only way to get any kind of freedom in any situation is by acknowledging what we're thinking, what we're feeling. So I think, you know, if you're really able to share this process with someone, you know, a family member, a friend, if you're able to explore the emotions around this, I think it can be very, very helpful. Because when you begin to put into words your fears, I think, you know, there's something very liberating about that and very empowering.
So you just added another layer to this project. So you're suggesting that we do the 5-day process, mm-hmm. and we share those answers with someone.
Hang on, that needs to
be careful, because if you shared them with your significant partner and those ideas don't align, that could be quite damaging.
That could, well, I guess it depends on what, you know, how you see your future. Yeah, absolutely. That could be pretty damaging. You know, the thing is, the first stage, it's really to do this alone. But if and when you do feel ready and able in the next week or so, perhaps, first of all, you need to really sit with this, let it marinate. But the moment you feel able to share this, I think it's a brilliant thing, because by sharing this with another human being, you're really, first of all, you're nurturing that relationship, you're trusting that person. And we know that so much of well-being comes down to the quality of our relationships. So not only are you nurturing that relationship, but you're also starting to make a commitment to your future, you know, which is very powerful.
I suppose other people could also do it there, where they could commit to share this idea with a friend.
Yes.
And commit to doing it independently with a view to sharing the answers together. I mean, that's what we're effectively going to do.
Yep, absolutely. And
that might be quite a nice way of actually using this, making, you know, we've developed a new tool in a way, because what we've said is, okay, this is what we're going to do. Now let's bring it together with someone else, because that kind of, in a way, creates a little bit of accountability to each other to do the process. Because now we both agree to share it. We're going to have to do this thing, which I haven't done. Yeah. And you've spoken to me about it before. So that's quite good. We've both got that commitment now. And of course, the outcome we share as well. So which is another place of talking. So another point of possible opening up a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's. Yeah.
You didn't say absolutely. And I was expecting an absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. There you go, Paul, just for you. You know what I was going to say too is that this exercise, it's not really just about setting goals, it's about creating a much wider, broader vision. You know, I think later comes breaking the time to break this down. First of all, we're creating this vision of who we are in the future. Because if we do this thinking about just goals, so I want to start my own business, I want to do this, it's fine, but we need it to be more rich. We need it to be richer. We need it to be more evocative than this. Because really, it's the emotion that motivates people, not the practical steps. So what I first want to tap into is that excitement, you know, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to look like, how your life is going to really be so incredible. I want to feel it before I think it, you know, because it's that emotion which is ultimately going to motivate more than any step of actions, you know, any steps that we take to move forward. Later will come the time to break it down into goals, you know, into practical goals.
Okay. So last week we discussed happiness. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how this fits into that conversation. How do these conversations fit together?
I think, you know, for any kind of well-being, this is at the core, this is at the heart of well-being, evolving, growing. Without this, we don't have any kind of well-being. You know, this is at the heart of well-being, because if we stay the same, you know, as we explained in previous episodes, there's this thing called hedonic adaptation. So no matter what the circumstances, how good or how bad, we're always going to adapt. Okay, so for that very reason, no single goal is ever going to make us happy, if not the constant feeling of moving forward. So I would say this is well-being. This is well-being.
Okay, that sounds like that. I guess what you mean, because we already had this conversation, the fact that you can't recycle happiness, you know. If something made you happy before, it's not necessarily going to keep making you happy.
Exactly.
So that's good. Well, in which case, I think we've possibly come to the, we've run out of words for this episode, and I think it's time to go and do the work, possibly.
Absolutely, Paul. I see you're very excited and inspired, which is good to see.
Yeah, I within some intrepidation in it, I guess that will be, we'll see how it goes. So I guess the first evening will be tonight for 20 minutes. I'll set my timer and we'll start writing and see what happens. And we'll explore this and come back next week and talk about it next week. And
that's
again,
very
I think
exciting.
we're going to have to be flexible on the timing next week because I'm, as you know, I'm not in my normal home base. Neither are you, as it goes. So both of us have to be flexible about when this next live session will be. And so it may not be advertised. I apologize if you're waiting for them, but we'll do our best. Anyway, this has been a co-hosted production of Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, host, friend and...
Whatever I am.
And explorer on this journey, Lisa Avery.
Yeah, I like that. Time, perfect.
Thank you for your time, Lisa, and we will be speaking soon.
Thanks, Paul. Take care. Have a good day.
And you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And that was Life, Passion and Business. If you are intrigued by the possibility of discovering the answers to those meaningful life questions, then join us on the Facebook group Life, Passion and Business. You can find the links on the website lifepassionandbusiness.com or do a Facebook search. These shows will be recorded a week in advance on that group using the Facebook Live system. So join us and be ahead of the curve, ask questions and be part of the journey. I hope you decide to come and join us live on that Facebook group. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for listening and I will catch you later.